It's time for From the Short Grass with Trey Shapp, a golf podcast for those who love golf, struggle with golf, and just like to enjoy the outdoors and fellowship with friends, all while chasing a ball around trying to put it in a 4 1/4 inch diameter hole. From the Short Grass is brought to you by Stevens Incorporated, an independent financial services firm with the freedom to focus on what matters most. And by Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels. We partner with you to deliver high-yield results by managing, developing, and investing in top-quality hospitality assets. And now, from the Short Grass, here is your host, Trey Shapp.
Welcome to another edition of From the Short Grass. I am your host, Trey Shapp. You might not be playing a lot of golf, as cold as it is this week, but I tell you what, my interview this week is with Magnus Lumholt. He's a graduate senior on the Little Rock golf team, and he comes from a place that gets pretty cold in the wintertime, Denmark. Yes, it gets really cold over there. But growing up, he got a chance to play as much as he possibly could. And how did he find his way to the United States? Well, you'll have to keep on listening to find that out. That's coming up in a matter of minutes. I want to tell you about our friends at Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels, Matthew Allen and Blair Allen. They know how to manage hotel properties. When you need an overnight place to stay, make sure you find one of their hotels, and all you do is go to their website, bphotels.com, to find one of the hotels that they manage. We're back after this. Stay with us.
Strength is measured not by the number of accounts. Strength is placing value on relationships. It's having the vision and the guts to invest in growth. It's the commitment to responsibly manage your money. At Stevens, we believe that our strengths build success, not only for us, but for our clients. Stevens, member NYSE, SIPC.
Traveling to Fayetteville to watch a game? Forgot to book a room for the night? Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group has you covered. Stay where the fans stay. Stayridge Suites is just south of Baum Walker Stadium and is an all-suite hotel within walking distance of Baum Walker, Bud Walton, and Razorback Stadium. Or you could stay at the Comfort Inn and Suites with newly remodeled rooms throughout the entire property. Find them on the web at bphotels.com. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels.
Welcome back to this edition of From the Short Grass. I'm your host, Trey Shapp. Magnus Lumholt is a graduate senior on the Little Rock golf team. He's gone through a coaching change after Jake Harrington left the Little Rock Trojans to become the head coach at New Mexico, so they brought in Austin Oaf. What does he think about Coach Oaf and that one putt that he made that sent the Little Rock Trojans from regionals onto the NCAA championships for the first time ever? You'll hear about it right now. On the tee, Magnus Lumholt. Magnus, thanks for joining me on From the Short Grass. How you doing? You're looking good. Good. Ready for what I guess this is your final last semester.
It's hard. It's weird and it's hard. I mean, it's been doing this for 4.5 years now, and on one hand I'm ready to be done going to school and I'm ready to turn pro and do my own thing. But on the other hand, it's gonna be really weird, especially when we come June when we're all done. I've been fortunate to have the time of my life here. Got to experience some really cool things, got to do some really cool things with the team. Been around at a time where we've been really, really good. So I've been super blessed and super fortunate to be around at a really good time here and just trying to soak it all in the next semester and do as good as we can and see how long that'll take us.
Obviously, winning 2 conference championships, the last in the Sun Belt and then the first in the OVC, that Little Rock participated in, has to feel good.
It was great, and it was really, really good because first Sun Belt championship I went to with Little Rock, we finished 2nd and lost in the final against Georgia Southern and came back and beat them the next year. So that made that first one just feel even sweeter because it was a little bit of a redemption. I mean, winning tournaments and winning conference championships are what we're here for, and winning 2 in a row is awesome, and it's been fun, and we're trying to go repeat again this year. I think we have everything we need to go do and repeat it again. And I mean, we've gone through some players now, lost a couple of key pieces the last couple of years, and just kind of found a way to keep being good. And I think we're really good again this year, and I'm just looking forward to go compete again.
Let's go back to where it began for you. You're from Denmark, Asnæs, but you say it's right outside of Copenhagen.
Yeah, I grew up about 15 minutes, hour outside Copenhagen, in a small town out there, actually. There's not a whole lot of things to do. If I wasn't playing golf, I wouldn't know what to do. played golf out there, started when I was about 8, played for 6-7 years out there at small clubs. We don't have country clubs, anything like that. It's all just membership clubs, but they're open for anyone, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Grew up out there, small little club, played golf, just kind of got the hang of it and moved to Copenhagen when I was about 15 to go to a, what do I want to call it, a sports-specific high school. It's a normal high school, it's like everything else, but they had a sports degree where you can go and play golf and your excused absence and all that kind of stuff. So I went and moved in to do that. And it's an hour away in car and 3 hours away by train. I didn't have a car. I mean, I couldn't have a car for another 3 years. So I moved away. I moved into a dorm. It was really weird moving out of home when you're 15, but I was really happy I did it. I had a great time. I lived with some other guys who played golf, ended up being really, really good as well. And we had a cool little community there and just got to go play golf every day.
I would imagine you had to grow up really fast when you move out of the house at 15.
Yeah, I didn't know a whole, especially the whole, we didn't have any of the support system you have in college where you can go to the cafeteria and all that kind of stuff. It was, I mean, you're on your own. You got to cook yourself. You got to clean yourself. You got to clean your own clothes. And first week I had to do my laundry. I had to cook my own food for the first time in my life. I was like, ooh, this is kind of hard. I think I cooked hot dogs the first night I had by myself, and it wasn't very good. But you kind of grew up pretty fast. You kind of got the hang of it pretty fast just because out of necessity.
Yeah.
And I mean, especially when I went to college, I was really happy I had already been through that whole meal, because going to college was nothing new for me. I still lived away from home. I still had to do the same things. I just did it somewhere else now, which made the whole transition period extremely easy for me versus you see a lot of, especially international guys who go and they'll go home because they couldn't align themselves with being away from home. They couldn't figure out how to do all these things by themselves. And for me, that was super easy, which I think just, I mean, it just made everything so much easier for me.
Let's go back to when you first picked up a golf club. Do you remember that time in your life, or was it so long ago that the memory has faded?
I remember parts of it. People ask me like how I got started, and I'm like, I'm not sure how I got started. My uncle played golf sporadically, not a whole lot. No one else in my family played golf. We never really were close to it. I played soccer growing up. Wasn't very good at it. Full disclosure, actually pretty bad. I wasn't a very good athlete. It's way different than here, where a lot of kids here will play multiple sports. They'll play basketball, baseball, football at the same time, all the way even through high school. At home, it's very, you do one or two things at the most. And I played soccer. I swam because my mom forced me to go to swimming, so I learned how to swim. Happy about it now. Wasn't very good at soccer, started playing golf and got the hang of it pretty quick without getting very good, but good enough to where I could have fun with it. And when I was 12, I decided that I wanted to play golf more than I wanted to play soccer. So I quit soccer, started playing golf. Again, still just out in this small little club. It was me and this one other guy. We practiced together virtually every single day, and it was all just fun and giggles and, I mean, nothing serious. Just play golf, hit balls in the range, and play the par 3 goals and that kind of stuff.
Did you have somebody help you with the swing and learning the game?
Yeah, it's a little. So when you start at golf at home, especially as a junior, there'll be junior practices at least once or twice a week, and we had that growing up. So I would have whoever was the head pro swing coach of that golf club would teach me how to play golf for the first couple of years. And my golf club must have gone through 5 or 6 coaches in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
So there was no longer thing going on. It was always just something new. And I mean, I wasn't really good enough to where it mattered that much at that point. I was just still trying to play golf and have fun with it.
Magnus, when did you know that you really wanted to try and compete with golf and compete in tournaments and play in tournaments and try and win?
So the first 4 years or so when I played golf, I didn't play a single tournament. I just
played
golf and tried to have fun with it. And I think the first tournament I ever played, I want to say it was maybe 18 holes. And I remember this because it was such a bad day. It was coming down. It was raining so hard and it was windy. I think I quit after 15 holes because my shoes were soaked with water and I ran out of golf balls. And at that point, I was ready to throw in the towel and like, I don't want to do this anymore. And kind of got back to it and got a little older again. And when I was about 12 or 13, I decided, I really like this. I think I want to try and do something with this.
Take me through the decision to come to the United States, because obviously that's a big decision to make.
Yeah, and it was hard. It came down to I knew I wanted to keep playing golf. I wasn't ready to turn pro out of high school. To take it back, through high school, I wasn't really that good, to be honest. I didn't do anything that impressive in high school, and I wasn't a very heavily recruited kid out of high school either. So my high school at home is 3 years, and my second year of high school is when you had to start deciding, well, do you want to go to college or not? And if you do want to go to college, where are you going to go? And I'm looking at me that's, at this point, I haven't really proved that much. I'm not going to turn pro. I won't have a standing chance if I turn pro. If I stay at home, I'll either do nothing, just play golf, or I will go to university or college at home. Do that at home, I wouldn't have had time to play golf. It's very, very time consuming. It's heavy, and the university degree is only 3 years, and it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to come back to, well, what else can I do if I want to keep playing? Well, I could go to college, which had become extremely popular recently, or in recent years at home. We've seen a couple of really, really good guys go to college and be extremely talented and do really well over here. So I figured, let's at least kind of look into it, see what we can do, and is there anywhere I want to go? Because I was smart enough to know, okay, I'm not going to be recruited by a really, really good program. I just haven't been good enough. That's kind of the lay of the land. My parents aren't going to pay much for it because they already paid God knows how much for me to go to the sports high school and let me move out and pay for dorm and all that kind of stuff. And at home, you don't pay for school. It's fortunately free. So we don't have a college savings or anything like that. I knew I had to go somewhere that I probably didn't have to pay much for it. So I kind of limited my options really quick. I had to find somewhere that was really, really cheap, if not free. Plus, they wanted to recruit me. Plus, I wanted to go there. It had to be better than what I had at home.
Sure.
So I spoke to my coach who went to junior college himself. He played for McLennan, and then he went to North Texas and played for UNT. And I was like, what do you think I should do? What can I do? And he had me reach out to Vince Clark, who's the head coach down at McLennan Community College. I reached out to Vince, and Vince is one of the best guys I ever met. Didn't get to play for him in junior college, but played against him a couple times. And he told me he's already filled his team with internationals. He has a limit for how many internationals they can bring in. But he gave me a list of these four other coaches I could email. So I ended up emailing coaches at Hutchinson, New Mexico Junior College, Midland College, and one more school that I can't remember.
And you wound up in New Mexico.
I went out in New Mexico for Coach Barry. I hadn't even heard of New Mexico before coming here. I couldn't have pointed it out on a map.
Right.
Nevertheless, could tell you what's in New Mexico, and it ain't a lot. So, kind of end up agreeing with myself, well, I'm going to go here. It's a two-year program. I know I have everything funded for a two-year program, and I'm probably not going to move on after that. I'm pretty at peace with it. I'm going to go for 2 years and come back. And I go out there and end up being quite happy with it. There ain't nothing out there in Hobbs, New Mexico. It's an oil city.
Yeah.
People go there to work in the oil industry, and then they leave. And you could feel that. If you want to do anything in the city, you go to this one of these two restaurants or you go to Walmart. But school is good. We play at a pretty good Muni out there. Actually, one of the best Munis I've ever played here in the country from a normal Muni standpoint. Coach is great. We end up having a really competitive team, and I end up playing pretty good that year. I want to say I finished 8th, 9th in the rankings.
So that got you some looks.
That got me a lot of looks. Spoke to a handful of Power 5 schools and some really interesting places and places I wanted to go to. So this is obviously fall 19, spring 20, and I'm out visiting schools. I wanted to go to New Mexico, University of New Mexico. I went up, visited, and really liked it. And semi got an offer, not an actual offer, but a spoken offer, like, hey, we can probably end up doing this for you and blah blah, and I kind of banked on that. That sounds good. 2 weeks go by and COVID comes around and everything gets all messed up. So my whole little plan in my head was, I was gonna be at New Mexico Junior College for 2 years and then transfer out. All of a sudden I can leave after 1 year and get another year at a D1 school.
Oh wow.
Why wouldn't I do that? Let me go somewhere with the best facilities I can think of against a better schedule and so forth. Let me go do that one more year.
So when did Jake Harrington come into the mix? Because he was the coach at Little Rock at the time.
So I actually emailed him first in October 19, and he didn't respond to me, which I've given some crap about that for a couple times.
He needs it. He deserves it.
Oh, yeah. So he didn't respond to me, and then I sent out emails to college coaches again in January or February of 2020, and he got back to me this time. I wanted to talk. At the time, Little Rock was one of my backup options, actually, because I was pretty set I wanted to go to New Mexico.
Right.
So big school, big program, whatever. And it didn't start getting really serious with Little Rock till March, when COVID actually hit, when I found out I need to explore some other options. Started talking more and more to Jake, and I was going to come on a visit here, which obviously I couldn't do that after all. We ended up sitting here negotiating. I might have decommitted once or twice here. I made some mistakes in my recruiting process because of things I wasn't aware of, and if I could do them differently now, I probably would. But I ended up coming here, signed in April 2020, after everything that went through with COVID and extra years and whatnot, and ended up working out really well to where I got an offer here I could afford, which I never even
thought that imagined it would be possible.
No.
Yeah.
It was really the perfect storm for me, where COVID came and swept some offers away and swept some things away from me that I wasn't expecting to have in the first place. It actually helped me to get here because it opened up more spots here somehow. And honestly, I wasn't sure exactly what to think of Little Rock before I got here, because I hadn't heard about Little Rock and Arkansas the same way I heard about New Mexico.
You couldn't point it out on a map.
Hadn't heard of everything I always heard about is the flyover state.
Yeah.
Didn't get to go visit because...
COVID.
But then
once you got here and you saw it, you were like, what?
I mean, I thought it was great. I went to college to play golf. The main reason I'm here is I want to find my way, the best place for me to go play golf. And I saw a bunch of pictures of golf courses here, heard where we play. I just had to take Jake's word and pictures. And I did. And I mean, I wasn't disappointed when I got here. We play some of the best tracks you can imagine. I can't think of many programs around the country that plays a better course rotation than we do. So it's all worked out.
And those different courses help you with your game.
100%. I mean, the fact that we get to go to 3-4 different golf courses every week that are so different, that can prepare us for so many different things, is huge. It's something a whole lot of programs don't have. A lot of these, even these really, really good programs, will go to the same one or two golf courses every day.
Yeah.
Which...
That has to get old.
No matter how good that golf course is, it has to get old. That's what I'd think.
Yeah.
And... Yeah, you can build your really cool facilities out there and do anything you want, but at the same day, we have between Chennault, CCLR, and PV, we have 4.5 golf courses to play on, 27 holes out of PV, and 2 at Chennault and 1 at CCLR, and they're all different.
Mm-hmm.
We can do extremely so many different things, and it's just such a cool, different thing to have. Like, it's just not normal, and I didn't realize how good that really is until I got here, and I'm so happy I stumbled upon this opportunity. I didn't expect it to happen. I didn't know what to expect really when I signed here. I just got lucky, essentially.
Kind of seems like it's all worked out.
It's all worked out really good, especially when I sit down and look back on what I got being here and what I've had being here. It's way better than I could have expected, and I even would have imagined when I transferred in.
Obviously, going to the NCAA tournament at Carston Creek and the way you guys advanced out of there, I would think that has to be the highlight of your collegiate career.
100%. I mean, sitting here looking back at it is such a fond memory. I got to be in the position I like to be in the most going into that day. I was the last guy out at regionals. I kind of got to sit back, knowing I had to compete and do something good for the team, but sit back and see where we're at and so forth. And I mean, we played all right the first 2 days. Nothing too great. Like, a couple of guys of us posted color rounds every day, and we were there, but didn't feel too great about it, to be completely honest with you. And we were into the last day, I'm like, we're going to have to do something pretty good here. Like, But I didn't really have any expectations to it, to be honest. At the end of the day, we were kind of happy to be at regionals that year. It was new. I hadn't been there in 20 years. That was a big achievement just going to regionals.
Yeah, but then when you got into that final and you got down to the last couple of holes, specifically 18, what was going through your mind?
So 18 was crazy. I didn't know where we were. I knew that we were behind. I can't remember if I asked Patrick or Jake after 15, like, where are we at? Like, do we have a chance?
Yeah, what do I need to do?
Do I need to do anything for the team? Do I need to be a little more aggressive, whatever? And they were like, no, I mean, we might need one or two coming in. But let's pause on it right now. Okay. So on 15 at Carson Creek is pretty intermediate, par three. And I step up. And I'm playing pretty good this round. I think I'm even par or so. And it's a hard golf course. It's pretty windy. And I'm stepping up on this par three. It's a short right pin. And as I'm, like, starting my downswing, I have, like, a bug or something like that flies into my ear. And I hit this low, skinny heel down short right, which is a mega short side. It's sitting down in a ball to a short pin. I'm like, all right, well, I'm making bogey. And I hit probably the best shot I hit all tournament. I hit, like, a high, soft flop shot that rolled out to, like, 15 feet. I made that for par.
Wow.
And it was such a momentum boost for me and for the guys around me, and it was great. And we end up coming down to 18. I want to say we're 5 shots out, going down with one hole. And I'm the last guy in 18, and we're still 1 or 2 shots out when I'm on 18. So I hit a pull on 18, a hard pull actually. So 18 on at Carson Creek is a hard dog leg left.
Mm-hmm.
There's a bunker on the left hand side. And
it's a par 5.
It's a par 5. And it's even like a 265, 270 carry to cover the water. And it turns left. And I hit a pretty hard pull with my driver. I'm like, oh no. Like, I'm starting to see this ball just head further and further towards the water. And it lands kind of short of the bunker and bounces over and sits in the rough piece between the bunker and the water. End up being like A1. Couldn't have been in a better spot. Because all of a sudden I can reach the green now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm standing down here, I'm watching the guys on the green, and we're pretty much competing with Baylor and Auburn at this point. I didn't know. I haven't been told anything. I'm just trying to play golf. And I see a guy from Auburn make a 50-footer for eagle.
Oh, wow.
And them going absolutely nuts up there.
Yeah.
Their coach ran onto the green and chest bumped his player, and like we still have a group left on the golf course.
Yeah.
For then Anton to make a 30-footer on top of him for birdie to kind of bring us right back into it. We're in the fairway now. They're done up there. I don't know where we're at, really. Patrick's there with me, and he seems pretty intense. So I get the picture that there's something to play for here. And the Auburn guy I'm playing with is, I mean, he's an All-American. He's really, really, really good.
Where did he go?
He went left.
Yeah.
So okay. He hit his drive right down the middle of the fairway. And as he's setting up and about to hit his approach into the green, his coach like starts running down the fairway, like trying to stop him, just have him lay up. And he doesn't notice or see it, so he hits this pull hook that goes in the water.
Oh, no.
And they're like, oh, what's happening? I hit a flush high draw 3-iron up into the middle of a green, and I have about 50 or 60 feet for eagle. He ends up going down in the water, plays it. I think he plays it out of the water. And doesn't get on the green, and ends up, he makes bogey, and I hit this lag putt to about 2.5 feet for birdie.
Mm-hmm.
This is in a season where I haven't been putting that good, especially my lag putting was shaky at best.
But you made the birdie.
Made the birdie.
And then what was the reaction?
Well, so I'm asking Patrick, like, as I'm about to hit this birdie putt, I see Patrick on the side, next to me on his phone looking at the leaderboard, and I don't get to see what it actually looks like. I just like get a picture of there's something going on. And like Patrick asked me, tried to get my mind off, and he's like, what are we having for dinner tonight? Start talking about food. Of course we do. And I don't even remember what we spoke about at this point. I just kinda got my mind off things. And I end up I remember standing over the putt and my legs were shaky and it felt weird. Like it didn't feel comfortable. And rolled the putt in and everyone just went nuts. Like,
you knew it was big then.
I knew it was big when I made that putt. I was like, oh my God. And it turns out that putt was to send us to the national championship.
For the first time ever.
For the first time ever. And it was just, I mean, it felt so surrealistic.
It's a pretty good putt. Big putt. All right. Jay Carrington leaves, and now Austin Oaf is the head coach. What do you think of Austin?
I like Austin a lot. I mean, honestly, I was worried. Jake left pretty late. And, I mean, Jake and I are friends. He knows how I feel about it. I have no hard feelings about it whatsoever. But I was worried about what happened here with head coach leaving so late. When are we going to get a new coach? And if we're going to get a new coach, who is it going to be this late in the season? And I didn't know of Austin before. Hadn't heard of him. Knew he was the UGA coach, but didn't tell me much. So they end up hiring him right around the 20th of August, I think. Mm-hmm. Right around when school started. At then we'd had Coach Norwood come in for us for a little bit and help us, and he was great. Hire Austin, and I mean, Austin's a competitor, ultimate competitor, sore loser, which is great. I love beating him.
Mm-hmm.
Because Austin plays with us a bunch, which is fun, because he was a hell of a player himself.
Oh, yeah. I've witnessed it in person. Very good player.
Really good player. It's fun to play with him. Because while he's not as good as he used to be, he still is as big of a competitor.
Yeah.
Even whether he plays, whether he coaches, he's there. So it's been fun. I think the school did a tremendous job recruiting a coach like that coming that late. And I think the program's in really good hands. I have nothing positive things to say.
Favorite golf course you've ever played?
It's tough. I mean, I've gone so fortunate being here. We got to go to some unbelievable places. Best golf course, I mean, it's got to be either Lotion or the Honors Course. We went to the Honors Course for a tournament my first semester, and I thought it was tremendous.
Yeah, over in Tennessee.
One of the hardest golf courses ever competed on, but it was tremendous.
Those are two pretty good ones, really good ones. All right, Magnus. Fantasy foursome, living or deceased, three other golfers that you would like to play around to golf with, who would they be?
I mean, I'm going to put Tiger in there because I would just kind of want to pick his brain.
Mm-hmm.
I think Max Homa is hilarious. I'd put him in there. Probably Justin Thomas.
Oh, very good.
I think Justin Thomas is everything I would want to be as a pro, from charismatic and from how he's handled adversity. So that's got to be the three guys I want to go out with.
No question, you're turning pro as soon as your collegiate
career
is over.
That's the plan. At first, I wasn't sure what I was going to do. To be honest, it depended a little bit, but how I'd play and so forth. But I'm pretty committed to. I'm going to turn pro here in June. I'm going to play out of here in Little Rock, stay here in town, and try to make it out of here. Which I look forward to a lot. I look forward to being in the community and just trying to see what I can do myself. I mean, everything's different when you're a pro than it is when you're an amateur. Some people really live up for the moment and they start playing better, and some people have a hard time doing it. I want to think I'm really, really well prepared for it. I've started the process pretty early, and all this stuff that goes behind the scenes as a pro, which a lot of people don't see, is...
There's a lot of work.
It's a lot of work to be done, and I'm just starting to get a grasp of it now. Because obviously, the better golf you play, the more of your issues just kind of take care of themselves. I'm trying to get as many issues taken care of myself just on a golf course, but there's still things you're going to have to work with and get done. And I'm in the process of all that right now and just kind of look forward to getting it all started. So it'll be fun.
Magnus, best of luck.
Appreciate you.
Thanks for joining me.
Yes, sir.
Heading to El Dorado to check out some live music or to play Mystic Creek? Stay at the Haywood, the only boutique hotel in the middle of downtown and the Murphy Arts District. If you are spending a weekend in Hot Springs, make plans now at the Marriott Courtyard close to Lake Hamilton and Oaklawn. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotel Group manages both of these fine properties, and you will rest easy knowing that your every need is taken care of. Beachwood Pinnacle Hotels on the web at bphotels.com.
That's it for this edition of From the Short Grass. Remember, when you find your ball mark on the green, fix it and a couple of more. And I hope to see you sometime soon from the Short Grass.
You've been listening to From the Short Grass, a weekly podcast dedicated to the game of golf. This has been a presentation of the Buzz Radio Network.